Director Duncan?
Present.
Director Stelzman?
Here.
Secretary Lee?
Present.
Vice President Young?
Present.
And President Simon?
Present.
Thank you. And can we do the Pledge of Allegiance? Vinny, would you mind leading us?
Certainly. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty
and justice for all.
Actually, members of the public, looks like we have no one present. Is there anyone online?
Not.
Okay. Consent calendar. Does anyone have any comments on our consent calendar? Okay, no questions, no comments. Do we have a motion to approve?
I'd like to move the consent calendar.
Director Duncan will second it.
Okay, can we have a roll call vote?
Director Duncan?
Aye.
Director Stelzman?
Aye.
Secretary Lee?
Aye.
Vice President Young?
Aye.
And President Simon?
Aye.
Thank you. Next, we'll do committee authority association reports. First up, we have construction committee. Director Young?
No, I will be doing the report for I, meaning Director Duncan will be doing the report for the construction meeting on behalf of Director Young.
Thank you.
The meeting was Wednesday, January the 17th at 10 a.m. And it was called to order by Chair Young at 10 a.m. In attendance was the directors Young and Duncan and the Castro Valley director, Johnson, and general manager Dang, and the engineering staff. There were no public members present, and therefore no comments. The minutes of the previous committee meeting were approved as presented. Halstead presented the funds 40 and 45 accounting sheets. The committee accepted the report. We then did the 10-year R&R and CIP projected costs. Halstead presented the 10-year R&R and CIP project costs. It was noted that there was one change to the report. Fund 45 in the collection system, the budget for the sewer collection system pipeline rehabilitation and replacement was increased in fiscal years 27, 28 through fiscal year 33, 24 to match the projections used for the future 218 notice. The committee accepted the report. And then we reviewed the strategic goals tracking. Halstead presented the status of the construction committee strategic goals and noted that all the goals are in the green status, which is ahead or on time for meeting goals, and that the high frequency footage is currently below 10%. The committee then discussed the goal concerning sea level rise, which means that the new critical infrastructure will be at or above elevation of 80 feet. The district is currently working with HDR to perform a sea level rise response study, which is set to be completed in June of 2024. The committee accepted the report. And then we went on to the sewer line replacement SLR program goal tracking. Halstead presented the sewer line replacement strategic goals. He stated that 24.3 miles of the pipe have been installed and 15.7 miles remain to be installed. And at the current pace of work, the goal will be completed in June of 2026. The district is ahead of schedule on meeting this goal. The committee accepted the report. And then we reviewed the plant summary sheets. The committee accepted the following reports. DECA presented on the status of the plant battery project. The project provides for the installation of a Tesla Megapack 2 battery, which will shave the peak hour PG&E energy cost. And the project is 91% complete. We then reviewed the collection summary sheets. The committee accepted the following reports. Point Repairs Project, TUN, presented on the status of the Point Repair Project. The project provides for the repair of 59 point repairs. The project is 64% complete. And then we did sewer line replacement phase three. Castilian presented on the status of the sewer line replacement phase three project. A project provided for the replacement of 3.4 miles of VCP with HDPE pipe. The project is complete. And then we reviewed sewer line replacement phase four. Castilian presented on the status of the sewer line replacement phase four project. The project provides for replacement of 3 miles of VCP with HDPE pipe, and the project is 95% complete. And then the last phase seven was presented by Decker. The project provides for replacement of 3.6 miles of VCP with HDPE pipe. The project has been awarded to Andes Construction and will begin construction in February of 24. Staff director comments. Castro Valley General Manager Williams stated that he will be working with General Manager Dang on the agreement for the digester rehabilitation project. The committee thanked the staff for all of their work, and there being no further business to come before the committee, the meeting adjourned at 10:34 a.m. which was 34 minutes later. Anyway, are there any questions?
One question, kind of a technical question. On that Tesla battery, as far as the charge limit, are there any limitations on how far we can charge up or charge down for the longevity of the battery life?
I'm not sure after that on that one.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, no other questions. We'll go ahead and move to the operations committee, and I'll go ahead and present that one. Our operations committee, we met on January 18th at 8 a.m. Myself and Director Stelzman were present, along with the management staff and our general manager. No members of the public present. They presented the energy balance and demand management sheet. A staff presented an update on the monthly balance and demand. Our GM informed the committee that the true-up charges of the year were $289,581. GM explained the true-up charges for the year are determined by the difference between the amount of electricity our solar system generates throughout the month and the amount of electricity PG&E supplies. I and Director Selzman asked how much savings the solar system generates. Our GM will follow up with a report back to the committee. I had asked the life expectancy is for the solar panels and how long our solar contract is. Our GM informed the committee that our contract is 20 years and we have had the solar in place since 2008 and the expectancy is unknown. I and Director Stillman asked for this discussion on solar contract information to be agendized on the next committee meeting. And the balance demand sheets and gas purchases sheet are attached. We then reviewed O&M finances. Everything's in order. The finance reports are attached. Staff then briefed us on the ongoing projects from the operations side, maintenance and collections. Everything's in order. And the operations overview is attached. For the staff director comments, our GM informed the committee that the staff is preparing for the upcoming storm events. That's the big storm we had over the past week and a half or so. And that Oraloma is going to receive a $15,000 fine from the RWQB for last year's storm event, the minimum charge for the exceedance. I then asked about the advanced participation information project in San Ramon, and the regional AQPI project continues to move forward with the goal of improving prediction of rainfall events in the Bay Area. The radar system was finally installed at Rocky Ridge in Las Trompas Regional Park, December of 2022, and data was made available in December of 2023 with plans to update the interface, website, and management tools before 24-25 wet season. Director Selzman asked if the bypass gate was functional, and Dang replied it was not. However, the swing gate is available if needed. I asked if we could use our local outfall and the threshold before we were fined. Director Selzman and myself thank staff for all their work and excellent information presented during the meeting. And our meeting adjourned at 8:19. Any questions or comments?
I have a
Yes, please.
When you and I guess this is directed at General Manager Dang. When it says that we received $15,000 fine from the minimum charge for each exceedings, what does that mean? Could you give me a little bit more on?
Yes, so one event, for example, where our permit limits have several parameters on them, many parameters, several of them being TSS, total suspended solids, and another one is called CBOD, biological oxygen demand. When you, and those two are linked together. So once you have, for example, an exceedance of TSS, say if our limit's 30 and we get, let's just use a number 50. We've violated that one number based on, and depends on if it's end of the month. If you have a monthly average, say you have four samples, and if that fifth sample, the fourth sample is higher and it brings your average up above that limit, that's a violation. Typically, when you have a TSS violation, you also have a CBOD violation because those are tied together. So now for one event, you already have two violations. That's not to mention that now you also have a weekly average limit that's slightly higher than, say, 30. It could be 45. But because we had a 50, for example, now you're hit with the weekly violation for TSS and BOD. So now you have four violations just because of one exceedance.
And so we would get fine for each of those, 15,000?
No, the minimum fine for each one is 3,000.
Oh, okay.
So the total fine for last year's storm was $15,000.
Okay, because I was thinking but that exceedings meant just what you said. And I'm like, how much money are we paying?
$15,000 is the total.
Okay, well, that's reasonable. I mean, yes.
And we had an indication from the regional board because we kept them involved along the entire way. And they said they would take all of that into account, including the fact that this was an unprecedented event. So based on the Clean Water Act, they invoked the minimum fine that they could, which was $3,000 per incident.
And does that payment come out of the general fund?
Yes.
Thank you. Well, this may not be relevant, but then, you know, it's great to see the true up charges for, you know, for the year for $289,581. But does our solar system equate how much, pounds of carbon has been removed from the atmosphere?
I'm certain we can get that information, but we do have the kilowatt hour generated from our solar system. We can calculate that.
Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, I know that in many of the municipalities, when they're talking about their climate action plan, they always talk about how many pounds of or tons of carbon they've removed from that atmosphere because of some of their solar purchases. And with our solar system, obviously, we're keeping that much more amount of carbon out of the atmosphere. And it is just good to see what that annual true up number is going to be.
Great. Thank you, Director. I just want to follow up question about the Rocky Ridge, the radar system at Rocky Ridge. Is that a shared resource or is that just for Oro Loma?
It's shared.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
But what other agencies are using that data? That
I don't know what agencies are using it right now, but it is a public site and the data is readily available.
So all we have to pay for is just the interface that's at the plant?
I don't think we're paying. We're not paying for anything currently for that system.
So they're just an interface, website, and data management that's being provided by whom?
That's being provided by the university or school in the Midwest that's providing that data, and I can get that information.
Okay, yeah, we can.
They're taking charge of developing and enhancing that interface.
We had data available in December of 23, but it wasn't timely enough for the storm that happened at the end of that month, right?
Correct.
Right, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. No other questions? Next, we'll move to the, let's see, East Bay Discharges Authority. I'll go ahead and present that. EBDA met on January the 18th, and in our packet, the permits, spreadsheets or graphs are provided. There were no NPDES permit violations in November, and the member agency CBOD and TSS performance is shown, as well as the bacterial. Some of the key items discussed in the meetings from a regulatory affairs perspective, the watershed permit for nutrients through the Regional Water Control Board. Some meetings are being held, and Jackie is participating in those meetings. This is regarding nitrogen reduction in the bay, which the nitrogen is fuel for the algae blooms. And the early actors are pushing for the early actors to be recognized, such as us or Aloma. And there's some other, like San Leandro is doing a wetland. Hayward's in the design phase for their nutrient reduction, and Union City's in construction. So right now they're working to see how us early actors can be recognized. But even with those projects in place, it's currently proposed, we still would not meet the requirements that our WQCB is proposing. So we'll have to look at other measures potentially in the future. But right now, we're at least ahead of the game on getting partly there. There's also interagency collaboration. Yeah, go ahead, please, now, Jimmy.
The limits that are being proposed currently, the EBDA agencies as a whole may not meet that permit limit, but Oraloma does. So now it becomes a negotiation within the EBDA agencies on how we're going to meet that permit as a whole, because we only have one permit through EBDA.
Got it. Good clarification.
Yeah.
Do we know if the others, with their projects that are being planned, will they?
So they, Hayward and Union San, USD are already in the middle of their projects, multi-hundreds, millions of dollar projects. And the numbers that they're proposing right now in the design don't, at this stage, doesn't seem like it would meet the proposed nutrient limits that could be coming down the pipeline. And that's where the discussions are being had with the regional board. And we've had many, many with them, with all of the agencies in the same room. And it's while we're trying to foster a collaborative environment with the regional board, they have their own stance that they're taking. And at the end of the day, there are certain actions that we could take if they don't budge on their proposed numbers. But that's a definitely separate discussion that we can have.
Thank you, Jimmy. Next item they talked about was the interagency collaboration going on with recycled water and looking into further exploring that, and regulations for direct potable reuse are out. This was a really interesting one. Jackie had met with an agency across the bay. County Flood Control and the city have partnered into one jurisdiction. I think we've talked about this before, but it's called One Shoreline. And this is this new agency where they are really ahead of the game on addressing sea level rise and flood control issues on that side of the bay. And that relates to our first mile levee and other projects that we have here. Over there, they're doing a lot of like kind of hardscape seawall type of improvements, because a lot of the Foster City homes are right up against the water line. But they are ahead of the game in collaboration between the county and the city. And I'm hoping we can see some of that over here on our side, but I understand we are nowhere near as far along collaboration-wise as the peninsula side. And lastly, is that this is a really good update. The sodium sulfate per day, starting on January 2nd, 2024, at 8:30 a.m., they stopped the dosing of sodium bisulfate, over at the Marina Dechlor facility. And now the pumps only run every, I don't know, so often, day or so, just a little bit to keep the pumps operational. But it's a significant savings, $250,000 a year in chemical cost savings alone. Plus, there's potentially some environmental benefits. And Jackie's going to look into that a little bit more on what that is. But right now, from a monetary side, it's quite significant. So that's great work on working with the regional board on getting that that reduction allowed. Okay, that completes my updates. Any questions? Yes,
Director. I guess maybe Jimmy can answer this. So how does our permit for NOP work independent of EPDA? I mean, so you're saying that we would be penalized because we're in the group? Because don't we have our independent permit to operate?
Permit requirement is in our wet weather permit. So that is a permit for us only. The current EBDA permit has no ammonia removal requirement in it. The nutrient watershed permit that's being negotiated right now is going to apply across all agencies, not just us. And so it's a separate permit altogether. So we'd have to meet that permit as well.
Since EBDA, if they're going to discontinue the feed of sodium bisulfite, are they going to be required to monitor for chlorine residual in their?
I believe they do that with their analyzers there now. So currently they try, I don't know this exactly, but if they're anything like our outfall, we have a chlorine analyzer and then we have an SBS that measures the residual for that. And as long as we get a zero chlorine hit, then we don't have any chlorine in there. Because the chlorine limit from the regulatory side was moved from 0 to 0.013 milligrams per liter, they're able to calculate how much we need to dose upstream so that we don't have to add SBS downstream.
Yeah, they're monitoring for it. And
I believe they are, but I can double check that.
It's not a very high threshold, 0.013. So if they violate that, then, I mean, I'm just kind of paying you that feed if.
I have to get together with Jackie and find out more about that.
I just want to make a comment. I was very, interest when you were talking about across the bay and that one bay shoreline. And I know that having worked in the county of San Mateo, they're pretty organized in terms of, setting up meetings with, local jurisdictions, including their council of cities where, the multiple city councils actually have monthly meetings. For us, we have CSDA where we meet with other agencies. And then the other one, of course, is we have our biannual meeting with CAS, and that's the only opportunity that we can have discussions with particularly our local sister agencies other than Castro Valley Sand to get together and to discuss the shoreline issues that we have. I just want to bring that up. It's probably more of a staff and a director comment if we want to look towards trying to bring a discussion and some kind of discussion or other sister.
Thank you, Director Lee.
Okay, no other comments. We'll go ahead and move to, let's see, this would be the F&I committee. Director Lee.
The Finance and Insurance Committee met on Friday, January 19th at 9 a.m. It was called to order at 9. Director Simon requested to invoke just cause as defined by Assembly Bill 2449 due to family illness to attend the meeting by teleconference. And of course, I hope that situation resolved itself. In attendance were myself, General Manager Dang, and Finance Manager Moreno. There were no general public in attendance, therefore no public comments. And we went through our strategic plan goals report and key performance indicators. Everything was in order. Finance Manager Moreno reported the key KPIs and we're all on track. They're attached and you can see everything that's in the green. We then went through our monthly financial reports for December 2023. All the expenses were on track for year-to-date interval. The ending cash and investment balances on December 31st, 2023 was $23.1 million. District Manager Dang informed the committee that the Alameda County payment of $10.5 million was received in December as expected. And then we asked some questions, the check to disbursement specifically to affordable painting services totaling $67,540 were discussed. That was something that just piqued my interest because the question basically, I believe it was a not to exceed $100,000. I did request something, right? I think the minutes caught it incorrectly, but I wanted to see some spreadsheets of a three-year comparative annual vendor disbursements report, and I can take that offline. There were no further comments from the staff and director, and the meeting was adjourned promptly at 9:15 a.m. Any questions?
No questions. Thank you, Director Lee. Next, we'll move to report from CASA Winter Conference, January 24th through 26th.
That's Alameda County.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Director.
Stop waste.
Okay. As you can see in your packet, Director Young provided a brief note of an update from the meeting on January the 24th, 24, and I'll just read it for her. She attended the meeting on January the 24th in Oakland, and they approved the annual audit for fiscal year 22-23. The regular meeting calendar focused on a legislative session priority setting for 2024. After reviewing their previous adopted priorities, they reviewed SB 1383 requirements for adjusting their procurement for jurisdictions regarding the compost and mulch, which does not affect OLSD. The last day to submit new bills is February the 16th, and the last day for the governor to sign or veto the bills is September 30th, they reviewed a few of the more than 30 bills that have asked for their support, both those passed and those that have been reintroduced in 2024. SB 244 by Eggman is the Right to Repair Act, which would require manufacturers to provide replacement parts and other important segments for repair. This bill was passed by the legislature in 2023 and signed by the governor. AB 557 eliminates the sunset date on provisions of law allowing local agencies to use teleconferencing without complying with specific Brown Act requirements during a proclaimed state of emergency. There were no other reportable actions by the board at the meeting that affected Oraloma. And this was respectfully Director Shield.
Any questions or comments?
Yeah, no, is that Senate Bill 244? Does that apply across, does this requires manufacturers across all industries or?
Sheila can probably answer.
No, I can answer that question. Sure. It's strictly related to technical things like telephones and other electronic equipment. Because right now, when a phone goes dead, you have to throw it away. You can't repair it. So it's all in the electronic industry that we're talking about.
Communications and electronics, is that what is focused mostly on?
Yes.
Okay.
And while I have the floor, can I just thank Rita for reading both of my reports? I am appearing at this meeting through the regular Brown Act teleconferencing meetings. I had emergency eye surgery last Thursday, and cannot see, cannot drive, cannot read, cannot watch TV. Just me and the cat. We listen to podcasts all day long. So thank you for reading my reports. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Director Young.
Director Young, I wish for a speedy recovery for you.
Thank you. But it's going to take probably 6 months because I had one eye done. Then I have to have the other eye done. And then I have to have both eyes done. So it'll be a while, but I appreciate your concern.
No other questions or comments. We'll go ahead and move to the CASA Winter Conference reports. Myself, Director Duncan, Director Lee, we're in attendance. We can go down the road.
Hey, I guess my name is first, huh? Duncan, Lee, and Simon. Okay, none at all. Well, there was... it was really a great conference, and there were two things that really stood out for me. Well, number one, CSRMA, they always do a great training, I believe, and I really enjoyed the Workers' Compensation 2024 update and learned a little bit more about their processing, or at least the new third-party administrator who is processing the workers' comp claims. But the two things that really struck my attention was the first one was Greg Kester. He was appointed or was advised to participate in the Science Advisory Board to EPA. And what they were advising and reviewing the documents for EPA was the standardized framework for sewage chemical risk assessment. And during the workshop that I attended with him, the advisory board pointed out three things that they felt that EPA should really consider before they published the standardized framework for sewage chemical risk assessments. And one of them was the potential that they're going to fall into some pitfalls if they use the existing tools that they have now that they have normally been using to do the risk assessment. And also, the advisory board had some concerns regarding the assumptions that they were making within the framework of this, the tools that they're using. And the last was the ecological risk assessment, the population that the EPA is evaluating for risk are the farm ponds and the agricultural ponds. They're not looking at regular populations and communities. And so based on what I learned from Greg Kester is that if you're doing, you know, the standardized risk assessment for chemicals, you want to evaluate the risk it has on people. So you should be looking at the population of people, not necessarily the ponds and the agricultural ponds. So I thought that was really interesting. And so we're going to, in the end of February, when we go back for the legislative forums, we're going to meet with them and talk a little bit more about the advisory board's recommendations. So that should be interesting. The other thing that I really liked or that piqued my interest was a guest speaker on Friday morning. It was Rob Thompson, who's the Orange County Sanitation District. I guess he's a general manager. His topic was on building a culture of accomplishment at your agency. And it was to inspire leaders and guide them to really set up their operations, what I like to call in the Toyota way, when your departments, the relationships are looking at each other as suppliers or customers, which prompts departments to work together instead of against each other. And I thought it was really neat on how he built his teams and how now they're cooperating just really very well together, and how he explained it and rolled it out was really, to me, was really motivational. But most importantly, what he talked about and what I learned is that they have this, I guess, this contract with 374 Water. And what they do is they have a process where they use the water and they use heat to kill any inorganics or anything, and the possibility, and they believe that it will kill all the reduce all the PFAS to something that's not harmful. And I'm sure that they spend a lot of money on it. And when I went to talk to him about it, you know, the possibility of it being successful, and he said yes, it was going to be really successful, but he wasn't sure if 374 Water would be able to do it, but some bigger organization will probably buy them out and make a lot of money. So that was really interesting. That, most importantly, that it looks like hopefully that there will be some kind of mitigation for PFAS for all of us. So those were exciting. And the other thing for me is that I didn't get COVID like a lot of people did. So I'm celebrating. So that's it.
Thank you, Jessica. Well, thank you, Anne. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Duncan. Thank you also serving at the leadership level at CASA. And obviously, going to be interested in the next conference that your readout on that. And also, thank you for covering a lot of the stuff that I don't need to cover from CSR RMA. That makes it simpler for us. I'm just going to go over some of the notes that I have. There were roundtables, actually nearly a dozen different roundtables. One roundtable that we didn't have because I think the person who was going to moderate it was sick, and that was the diversity, equity, and inclusion, because I think that's a very important topic in today's climate. So the roundtables I did attend was, one was the recycled water with Director Simon, or actually President Simon, and the other one was on the subscription bloat, and I'll go over each one real quick. The roundtables was more or less, all the different attendees who had some experience and talked about it, talked about some of the challenges with recycled water, and talked about the moniker toilet to tap, which is probably ruining it for a number of folks. And I definitely know that term because of my activism from 20 years ago. I think some of the biggest challenges are obviously the capital costs. They noted some capital costs about $3,000 per acre foot for recycled water. They're talking about implementation is on the horizon of 10 to 15 years. And, due to some of the challenges with water shortages, the cost of water is definitely going up. There's a lot of risks. There's the box, right? And there were definitely the folks who have more experience in this area. But it was an interesting round table, to say the least. I thought what was missing from that round table was, how did they fund their project? How did they build their infrastructure for the project? Because, as a sanitation agency, we were responsible for sewers. We're not responsible for like purple pipes or something like that. So there's definitely some partnership that they have to discuss. And the other roundtable I attended was the subscription bloat. And I think I was the first one to get to the table. And then there was a half a dozen other folks. And after... basically, what subscription bloat is that software nowadays is in the cloud. And so we subscribe to the software. And typically what happens with a lot of agencies is that they oversubscribe, and there was, as a result, they pay a lot on an annual basis for these subscriptions. I did have a discussion with General Manager Dang on this, and actually our agency is ahead of the game because he's looked into this. And he continues to monitor this to make sure that we don't have subscription bloat. But it was a very brief discussion, but it was important. On the next day, we have the CASA general session. And I'll tell you that CASA actually has grown significantly. I think in past CASA conferences, we had roughly about 200 plus attendees. At this conference, there's over 300 attendees. In fact, they said that over last year, it was like 40 new attendees and over half a dozen agencies. They talked about sustainable climate engagement, funding sources, energy recovery. And then there was also a keynote speaker that I really appreciated. That was Congressman Raul Ruiz, who formerly that was his district before the lines were redrawn, but he still has his heart in Palm Springs, as he stated so eloquently. The other sessions, Inflation Reduction Act, opportunities in wastewater, grants, rebates, and there are going to be some challenges with that because the state of California has a $68 billion deficit, and last year it was over $100 billion, so we're clearly going to be leaning more on the federal level. There are climate bonds, policy bills, particularly on the PFAS legislation. They're still haggling through that. Sewer system consolidation bill. I wrote that down, but I'm going to have to look that up. And, of course, microplastics. And I think that pretty much covers all the activities I did at the CASA conference.
Thank you. Okay, I'll give a few updates. I won't repeat what Director Duncan and Lee have presented. But I do want to thank staff, Patricia, for help organizing this, and Jimmy as well. And we had a nice dinner with Castro Valley Sanitary. And thank you, Jimmy, for making us sit every other. So we forced the dialogue, and we had really nice conversations, more so than just talking amongst our own board. So that was really nice. Got to get to know them a bit better and talk about some potential partnerships, more partnerships. That was really good. Some of the key workshops that I attended, and some of them have been presented already, but some highlights. The recycled water was a really good roundtable discussion. And as Director Lee said, right now it is expensive compared to buying regular water. It's probably three times as much it costs. But it's very likely the cost of normal water will keep going up. And at what point do you start to switch or start to plan for recycled water, you know, right when the costs are equal or beforehand, getting ready for it. Plus, as Director Duncan has mentioned many times, there's money out there. There's money in the federal government that we can be looking and searching for. And related to that, how quite a few of these recycle projects are put in place, particularly in San Diego and some other locations, is they can either invest their money in cleaning the water and sending it to the bay, or don't send it to the bay or the ocean, clean it, and then send it back uphill for residents to use for recycled water. And it's like a two birds with one nest approach, which makes a lot of sense. Rather than just sending it to the bay, let's take some of that money and reuse it. Also interesting, I didn't really realize this, is there's temperature requirements for discharge that agencies are having to deal with. Jimmy, do we have that issue up here?
We don't have the issue, but we do have temperature requirements in our permit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was interesting. They have difficulties with that in Southern California. I guess it's just warmer down there. But that's a whole other something you have to deal with. Whereas if you're recycling, you don't have to deal with that, sending it to the bay or the ocean. This was a really good presentation I heard. This was done by Brown and Caldwell, and they were presenting on private-public partnerships on recycled water projects. And this was really interesting. PepsiCo, the soda company, had partnered with the Southern California Wastewater Agency on an environmental grant. So PepsiCo gave this Southern Cal Wastewater Agency $1.5 million towards their recycled water project. And there was no direct trade of water. Pepsi was not using any recycled water, but Pepsi was able to use this project to help lift up their environmental process, or their environmental theme being green, essentially. So I'm sure it'll pencil out that they'll make more money than that 1.5 by just stating that they're helping with the environment. So I thought that was a real interesting approach, especially with all the corporations that we've got in our area here in the Bay Area. That might be something for us to contemplate once we start to enter into more projects, if any of these private corporations would like to partner with us. The other is that Orange County Sanitation District presentation Director Duncan mentioned, really good presentation to see how we turn that agency around. And one point I heard that really stood out, he said, if you aren't constantly investing, you're falling behind. And that reminded us of us here with our pipeline projects and our digesters coming up. And you've constantly got to be working on one project to the next and not just kind of sitting back and watching rates to make sure rates are low, but making sure that your rates are properly investing into our infrastructure. So that really hit home. And then efficiently delivering projects, but also caring for people. That was so important point that he made. If you're not caring for your people, then you're not going to be able to deliver projects. So it made all the sense in the world. And I know that Jimmy and our managers here really want to invest in our people. I know us, our board does as well. So that really meant a lot. Okay, those are my updates. Are there any questions or comments on any of the presentations that we gave? No? Okay, thank you. Next, we will do an approval of the committee minutes for entry to district record. Do I have a recommended motion?
I would like to move this item. Director Stelzman, second the motion.
Roll call, please.
Director Duncan?
Aye.
Director Stelzman?
Aye.
Secretary Lee?
Aye.
Vice President Young?
Aye.
And President Simon?
Aye.
Next is new business, 7.1, approval of the 10-year strategic vision and goals, 4 through 34.
Yes, so as a reminder, we had a very productive strategic plan workshop back in December of 2023. Captured all, if not many, if not all the comments from the workshop. We have, as directed, have incorporated those comments into what you see the final draft is in front of you, or in the packet via PDF and via this copy. And today we're asking for formal approval from the board on this document. Once we get that, this will then translate over to all the committee assignments, the committees, and we'll start the management level. We'll start looking at developing KPIs and tracking the new strategic goals. In addition, once this is approved, we'll also provide hard copies for the board.
Thank you, Jim. Any questions or comments from the board? No questions or comments. I know very thorough discussion at our workshop. And Jimmy, thank you and staff for incorporating our comments and always doing a very thorough job. No comments or questions. We'll go ahead and can I get a motion to approve this 10-year strategic vision and goal?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion for approval of the 10-year strategic goals and plan vision.
And Director Duncan will second it.
Get a roll call vote.
Certainly, Director Duncan.
Aye.
Director Stelzman.
Aye.
Secretary Lee.
Aye.
Vice President Young.
Aye.
And President Simon.
Aye.
Final item is staff and director comments. Jimmy?
Yes. 2 weeks ago, Board Member hosted an all-day seminar with SFEP, San Francisco Estuary Partnership, along with EBDA, and some of the other Bay Area wastewater treatment plants. But in addition, HASPA, City of Hayward, Harwood, Alameda County, Mosquito Abatement District, Alameda County Flood Supervisor, one of the supervisors were there, East Bay Regional Parks, UC Berkeley, and the entire discussion related to the horizontal levee and the first mile project that Jackie is leading through EBDA. It was a very successful meeting, all-day seminar. There was a lot talked about, mainly about how to implement these types of projects, especially since they're difficult and challenging on the permitting side because you're crossing so many jurisdictions. Luckily, there's a permitting agency called, I think it's BRIT, and they work in collaboration with the regional board on looking at these type of projects and trying to push for approval on the permitting side. Just a very successful, very good discussion. Luisa Valiela was there with the EPA. So just in general, it's nice to see all that collaboration and everyone trying to make something like this, hopefully something like this, work. Second update I want to provide the board is the Prop 218 notice is under development currently. We should have it ready for approval at the board level by the second board meeting of this month or the first board meeting of March. We'll also have at that meeting, in conjunction with that, to set the hearing date for the 218 notice. And we also want to inform that staff is developing an informational. We will have an informational session as well for the public between the approval of the 218 notice and the actual hearing, in case someone wants to come, and I'll probably have a presentation ready as well to talk about the projects that we're trying to fund. And third, we are developing a video for more outreach on our website because the last 218 notice that we did, we didn't have much of a showing here at the district. And for the investment for developing video, we can reach a lot more people that may not want to attend to hear the presentation, the informational session, and would rather just watch a video on the notice itself so that we can reach a wider audience. Lastly, President Simon talked about this already. This was in my notes, that the BACWA and EBDA agencies are in discussions with the regional board about the nutrient limits and that whole discussion. It is a very, very loaded discussion. One more thing, lastly, they're just informed the board there is no board workshop next week. That's all I have from staff.
Thank you. Dr. Young, would you like to have any comments?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Director Stelzman?
This is a good meeting. I'm glad we have this finalized version of our strategic goals, our 10-year plan that we can use to implement in our committee meetings down the road. And I was glad to hear all the reports from the CASA meeting from my fellow directors. Director Young, I wish you a speedy recovery. Sounds like you have a ways to go, though. Hope you do well. And I'll pass it on to you.
Thank you.
Great meeting, short, and lots of stuff. I shouldn't say stuff. A lot of items that we covered. And I want to also thank Patricia for her coordination of me getting there and having a nice room to stay in. And I also want to appreciate our general manager for all the work that you've done on our 10-year strategic plan. I reviewed it and had a few questions which you answered, but I think we did a great job capturing our input. And I also, Sheila, want to wish you speedy recovery and know that if there's any errands or anything that I can do, please let me know any meetings that I need to attend for you. I'm willing and able, so you have some support here. And that's it.
No quick comments. Sheila, like I said, if you need anything, just feel free to reach out to me, right? We care. So I want to talk about, you know, December 31st, 2022, we had the really monumental rain event. It was probably a 100-year storm. And this week, you know, obviously we had this huge atmospheric river. It's affecting our families down in Southern Cal. In fact, in some of the news stories I heard, they classified it as a 1,000-year storm, right? So I don't know what's happening with the climate, but obviously it's something that we all have to be cognizant about. I want to thank staff for all the work that they're doing to prepare us. Obviously, such an event like that is going to have a devastating impact to our residents, our constituents, our ratepayers. But if we constantly discuss this, we're going to get ahead of it. And I want to thank staff for all they do. You know, the strategic plan, definitely kudos to General Manager Dunn, all the department managers and all staff who have participated in it. They've captured our our thoughts and reflected very well in the strategic plan. And earlier, I think I did mention, you know, like in one of the discussions that for EBDA, when President Tsai was talking about the One Bay shoreline, we do have our annual dinner with CSDA, and that's on March 21st, 2024. I think for members of the board who can attend, I do encourage, because this is where we can actually start working together with our peers.
Thank you, Director Lee. Ditto on all the comments here. And Director Young, again, my thoughts are with you. And we're in your neighborhood on Wednesday night for the scouts. So if you need anything, we're in your neighborhood. Just let me know. I like your comment, Director Lee, about partnering more with our agencies on starting to contemplate some type of one shoreline, like across the bay. And that's a great idea. I know it's a heavy lift for coordination, plus bringing the county in, which the county, I understand, doesn't even recognize sea level rise or is not addressing sea level rise. Whatever it is, they are not with the program. So I'm looking forward to assisting with that as needed where we can. And again, staff, thank you for your support on the CASA conference. It was excellent as always. And Alex, thank you too for all your support on our district and all the staff online tonight. So go ahead and adjourn the meeting at 5:57 p.m. Thank you. Good night.
We can go billions and coalitions to talk to folks, and if we get them to say yes, then we should have a joint session with some of our sanitary districts, right? Or anybody who's along the shoreline. And then the other thing is that when we have that joint session, one of the things they've been doing this for years.
We got to find out. Maybe we can do that. I think Jackie's been to them, but maybe we can go sometime.
Yeah, and then find out what they did.